Welcome to XY Files Podcast. I'm Vladimir Kotlov, MD, the founder of Veedma, with a medical background in urology and deep expertise in male hormone optimization and fertility. This is episode 2 of 18 in our low testosterone series. Last time we covered what is low testosterone, the clinical definition most men and many doctors get wrong. Today we're getting into low testosterone by age. What's normal in men? The reason this matters is simple. Men search normal testosterone by age, get a chart, compare one number, and then either relax too early or panic too early. In clinic, I see both. A guy in his early 30s gets told his testosterone is normal because the lab printed a broad adult range. Another guy in his late 50s sees a borderline result and assumes birthdays caused it. Usually, neither interpretation is quite right. Remember from episode 1, low testosterone is a clinical syndrome. It requires persistent symptoms and biochemical evidence. Age changes the context. It does not replace the diagnosis. If you only take one idea from today, take this one. Healthy aging causes a small hormonal drift. It does not usually cause a hormonal cliff. In the European male aging study, total testosterone fell by about 0.4% per year, and free testosterone by about 1.3% per year in healthy men. That is real. It is not dramatic. The bigger drops we blame on getting older are often driven by weight gain, insulin resistance, poor sleep, chronic illness, medication exposure, and changes in hormone binding proteins, not age alone. When I was a resident, I used to think age explained more of this than it actually does. Then you see enough men in practice, and the pattern gets obvious. A healthy 62-year-old who sleeps decently, stays active, and has not accumulated a pharmacy in his bathroom cabinet often has only a modest decline from younger adulthood. Then a 42-year-old comes in, has gained 35 pounds around the waist, sleeps 5 hours, snores like a chainsaw, and takes medication that suppresses the hypothalamic pituitary testicular axis. He feels terrible. That is not just 40s. That is physiology under pressure. This distinction matters because treatment depends on cause. If low testosterone is coming from the testes failing despite strong pituitary signals, that is primary hypogonadism. If the brain is under signaling and the testes are still capable of responding, that is secondary hypogonadism. Functional hypogonadism, which is what we see constantly in the real world, usually falls into that second bucket. Obesity, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, sleep disruption, and certain medications can suppress the axis without structurally destroying it. That is exactly why LH and FSH must be measured alongside testosterone. Without them, you cannot classify the problem. And if you cannot classify it, you cannot choose the right treatment safely.
Now, about those normal by age charts. Most labs still use one adult reference range for total testosterone, often something around 264 to 916 nanograms per deciliter for nearly every adult man who walks in the door. That range describes a population. It does not tell you whether your androgen function is normal for your age, your tissue needs, your symptom burden, or your own baseline. A lab range is useful. It just gets promoted way above its pay grade. It is a census, not a verdict. A few weeks ago, I reviewed labs for a man in his 20s who had low libido, weaker recovery in the gym, less morning erectile function, and a general sense that he had lost a gear. His total testosterone sat near the bottom of the lab range. He had been told he was fine because the printout said normal. But men in their 20s are supposed to be near peak androgen years. So we did what should have happened first. We repeated a morning draw, measured free testosterone directly, and checked LH and FSH. That is how you turn a vague label into actual information. For men in their 20s, I pay close attention to low normal numbers. Not because every 20-something with a borderline result has hypogonadism. He does not. But because this is the decade when being near the floor of a broad adult range deserves a closer look, especially if symptoms are real and persistent. In the 30s, decline usually starts, but in healthy men, it is still modest. This is actually the best decade to establish a personal baseline. If you get tested once in your 30s, rested, fasting, in the morning, when life is relatively stable, you create something very useful for future comparison. That baseline matters more than most people realize. Imagine two men, both age 42, both sitting at 350 nanograms per deciliter. One was 420 at age 28. The other was 700 at age 25. Same current number, very different story. The second man may feel a much bigger change because he lost half his testosterone over time. Even if the lab wants to pretend both men are identical, this is one of the quiet reasons so many men feel dismissed. The
chart is describing the population. The patient is living inside his own biology. By the 40s, this is often when symptoms become noticeable. Not because 40 is magic, but because a modest hormone decline starts colliding with modern life. More work stress, less sleep, more visceral fat, less training consistency, more alcohol for some men, more medications. I hear some version of this every week. Doc, nothing is terrible, but nothing feels quite right. That is when a real evaluation matters. Loss of libido, erectile changes, reduced motivation, rising waist size, brain fog, poor recovery, lower mood. Those symptoms should not be waved away as welcome to middle age. In the 50s and beyond, the picture changes again because total testosterone becomes less reliable as a summary. A man can have a total testosterone result that looks acceptable on paper and still have lower androgen activity where it counts. Why? Retestosterone. That small unbound fraction is what can enter tissues directly, and it declines faster than total testosterone as men age. This is one of the biggest blind spots in routine care.
I had a patient recently, mid-50s, who had been told for a year that his testosterone was good enough. His total number was not awful, but he had clear symptoms, and his free testosterone had never been measured properly. Once we repeated the workup with direct free testosterone, plus LH and FSH, the situation made more sense. This happens a lot. Men are told they are normal because total testosterone sits inside the lab fence, even when free testosterone is low, and the pituitary pattern points toward a fixable secondary problem. You will hear people talk about SHBG, sex hormone binding globulin, in this context, and the biology is real. SHBG tends to rise with age, which leaves less testosterone unbound and bioavailable. But for testing, I do not want to get lost in math when we can measure the important part directly. At VIDMA, we do not order SHBG as a separate test and then play calculator games. We measure free testosterone directly using equilibrium dialysis with LC megasiemens. It is a better way to uncover hidden testosterone deficiency, especially in men whose total testosterone looks fine, but whose symptoms say otherwise. That phrase, hidden testosterone deficiency, is worth sitting with for a second. It is why age-based charts alone are not enough. A man in his late 50s with borderline total testosterone and clearly low free testosterone can be more clinically androgen deficient than a younger man with a similar total value. The reverse can also happen. A younger man with a lowish total number but reasonable free testosterone and no symptoms is not automatically hypogonadal. Again, symptoms plus biochemistry. Both. Not one, not the other. That principle from episode 1 keeps saving us from bad decisions. This is also why I do not love the term andropause. It sounds neat. It is not clinically precise. Male hormone decline is gradual, variable, and heavily modified by health status. The better term is late onset hypogonadism, which means symptomatic testosterone deficiency that begins in adult life and is confirmed biochemically. Turning 50 is not a diagnosis. Feeling tired at 55 is not a diagnosis either. And one borderline afternoon testosterone result definitely is not a diagnosis. Testing is where a lot of good intentions go to die. The mistake I see most often is a single blood draw at the wrong time with the wrong assay and missing half the information we actually need. Testosterone should be checked in the morning, ideally between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m., and it should be repeated if the result is low or borderline. Younger men especially can drop 20 to 30% from morning to afternoon. So if someone had labs done after a bad night of sleep, during a stressful week, or at 3:30 p.m. between meetings, I am not eager to build a lifelong treatment plan on that. Method matters too. Many routine labs still rely on immunoassays. Those can diverge meaningfully from LC megasiemens per megasiemens, especially around borderline values. And direct analog free testosterone assays are particularly unreliable. At VIDMA, our panel includes total testosterone, directly measured free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LC megasiemens per megasiemens, estradiol, LH, FSH, CBC, a comprehensive metabolic panel, and PSA in men 40 and older. When indicated, we add lipids, prolactin, thyroid testing with TSH, and vitamin D. It is more than 40 biomarkers, twice per year, because a hormone number without context is just trivia. We can also review outside labs. A lot of men come to us with broad wellness panels, sometimes from a service like Function Health, and the real question is not whether they have numbers, it is whether they have the right numbers. If total testosterone was checked without free testosterone, LH, and FSH, the story is unfinished. I say that all the time because it keeps being true. A lot of guys hear testosterone declines with age and think that means low testosterone is basically inevitable.
it is not. Healthy aging causes only a modest decline. Much steeper drops often reflect reversible suppression or treatable disease. That matters because men who assume the problem is age are less likely to look for sleep apnea, metabolic dysfunction, medication effects, or secondary hypogonadism. Another common mistake is assuming total testosterone tells the whole story. It does not, especially as men get older. If free testosterone is falling faster than total testosterone, symptoms can show up even when the total number still sits inside the range. This is why the phrase, my testosterone is normal, sometimes means my total testosterone was measured once. Then there is the classic, my doctor checked testosterone, so we're done. Maybe, maybe not. If LH and FSH were not checked alongside testosterone, you still do not know whether this is primary or secondary hypogonadism. High LH plus low testosterone points to primary hypogonadism. The pituitary is signaling loudly. The testes are not responding. Low or normal LH plus low testosterone points to secondary hypogonadism, often functional in modern practice, where the axis is intact but suppressed. Those are different conditions. They do not get the same treatment. This is where treatment gets practical. If a man has primary hypogonadism, high LH plus low testosterone, the testes are failing, and TRT is usually the appropriate path. If a man has secondary or functional hypogonadism, low or normal LH plus low testosterone, especially with LH below 8 millimoles per milliliter, and clomiphene is our first line option, because it stimulates the body's own signal, preserves spermatogenesis and fertility, and maintains testicular function. TRT is reserved for primary hypogonadism or for secondary hypogonadism that does not respond to enclomiphene. TRT suppresses gonadotropin and spermatogenesis, so it is not the right answer for a man who wants it. It is fit for documented hypogonadism, not a hobby, and it is not midlife.
Functional hypogonadism deserves one more comment, because it is so common. In a lot of men, the axis is not broken, it is suppressed. Obesity, insulin resistance, poor sleep, and medications can all do that. Lifestyle changes help, and I absolutely want men addressing weight, sleep, training, alcohol, and metabolic health. But lifestyle alone often moves testosterone less than men hope, and change is hard to sustain in real life. That is why, in the right secondary pattern, enclomiphene plus lifestyle modification is often a very sensible first step. It treats the physiology while you work on the cause. So what should you actually do with all of this? First, do not use age alone to interpret a testosterone result. Use symptoms, repeat labs, and context. At VIDMA, when symptoms persist, we use practical decision thresholds of 350 nanograms per deciliter for total testosterone and 100 picograms per milliliter for free testosterone. That lines up closely with the European framework, around 12 nanomoles per liter for total testosterone. But the important part is that symptoms have to be there too. Second, test correctly. Morning draw, ideally fasting. Repeat if low or borderline. And do not stop at total testosterone. Get total testosterone, directly measured free testosterone, LH and FSH together. If that set is incomplete, your workup is incomplete. Third, establish a baseline if you are in your 30s and have never done this. You do not need to obsess over it. Just capture a clean data point while you are reasonably healthy. Future you may be grateful. Fourth, if your numbers are low and your LH is low or normal, ask whether you are dealing with secondary or functional hypogonadism, rather than jumping straight to TRT. That question affects fertility, testicular function, hematocrit risk, and whether the treatment is potentially reversible. It is not a small detail. It is the map. Next time, we'll get into how common is low testosterone and why are rates rising in younger men. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, or unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to VIDMA for free or order labs through our special offer at VIDMA.com.
I'm Vladimir Kotlov, MD, founder of a men's health clinic, urology background. Warm, confident, quietly authoritative, a smart friend who happens to be a doctor, not a lecturer, not a news anchor. Warm, low mid register, unhurried, conversational, subtle vocal smile on interesting facts, subtle timbre variation, never flat, never performative, very sentence length. Speed up slightly on tangents, slow down on numbers and clinical thresholds, linger on diagnostic values, natural micro pauses between ideas, longer beat, about 1 second before a key takeaway, no filler pauses mid-sentence, inaudible breathing, rise in pitch for questions, drop for conclusions, emphasize thresholds, numbers, and named conditions, never monotone, never theatrical, standard American English, educated register, VIDMA, V-E-E-D-M-A-H, VIDMA.com, V-E-E-D-M-A-H.
MAH.com. Wu FC, Tajar A, Binon JM et al. Identification of late onset hypogonadism in middle-aged and elderly men. New England Journal of Medicine, 2010. https://pubmed.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov/20554979/PMID 20,554,979. Camacho EM. Hutanimi IT. O'Neill TW et al. Age-associated changes in hypothalamic pituitary testicular function in middle-aged and older men are modified by weight change and lifestyle factors. European Journal of Endocrinology, 2013. https://pubmed.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov/20425925/PMID 23,421,925. Travison TG, Vesper HW, Orwell et al. Harmonized reference ranges for circulating testosterone levels in men of 4 cohort studies in the United States and Europe. Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, 2017. https://pubmed.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov/28342/PMID 28,324,103. Feldman H.A., Longcope C., Derby C.A. et al. Age trends in the level of serum testosterone and other hormones in middle-aged men. Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, 2002. https://pubmed.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov/118362902. PMID 11,846,209. Brombia D.J., Matsumoto A.M., Oahu et al. The effect of diurnal variation on clinical measurement of some testosterone and other sex hormone levels met. Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, 2000. https://pubmed.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov/19086290. PMID 19,080,160. Russin and Brito J. Penningham, G.R. et al. Testosterone therapy in men with Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, https://pubmed.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov/19086290. PMID 9,300,000. Measurement of serum testosterone in adult. Journal of Clinical Endocrinology. https://pubmed.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov/19086290. PMID 14,760,750. J. Emulin. Endocrine of androgen levels in men and endocrine. Endocrine. HTTP.